Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... This is an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. Middays. I'm Susie Larson, so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. He's a very present God. He is with us in the day of trouble. I think that's absolutely amazing. Before we get into today's show, I just got to tell you, I was spending some time in the Psalms this morning. And you know how you read a psalm, you've seen it 1,000 times, but then there's a day where it just leaps off the page at you? Well, that happened to me in Psalm 97. I just want to read this. And remember, as I read, the Word of God is living and active and powerful. And I just pray, if you're in a situation right here where you can just pause, if you're driving, don't close your eyes, but if you're sitting somewhere, just tune out all the other distractions, flip your phone over or whatever, and just hear the Word of the Lord. Listen to this. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands and coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries on all sides. His lightnings have illuminated the world. The earth has seen and trembled. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the living God. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth is seen. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all of people will see his glory and his brilliance. Then I'm jumping down. It says, you are the Lord Most High over all the earth. You are exalted above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He protects the souls of his godly ones. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Now listen to this. This is what really jumped out at me. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Listen to this. Light is sown like seed for the righteous and illuminates their path. I want you to hear that again. Light is sown like seed for the righteous and illuminates their path. Picture Jesus ahead of you just scattering seeds that illuminate your path. He promises he's going to light the path ahead of you. Irrepressible joy is spread for the upright in heart who delight in his favor and protection. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones, those whose moral and spiritual integrity places them in right standing with God. Yes, praise and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. I just think it's good to pause and remember who he is, remember who we are because of who he is. And I hope that passage, I mean, just the idea that these seeds illuminate our path because Jesus goes before us and he's behind us and he places his hand of blessing on our head. That's what scripture says. Well, my guest today also loves the Psalms, and he camped out in Psalm 51 and he writes this, God is kind. That's what mercy means. Maybe you've heard it said that God's grace is getting what you don't deserve and God's mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And he says that's true in one sense, and it'll certainly preach, but it does not tell the whole story. God's mercy, well, it's more than that. Yes, it means pardon. Yes, it means God withholds judgment, but it all starts in the heart of God himself. God shows mercy because he is merciful. We're not just talking about a thing God does, but about who God is. Author and pastor Jonathan Parnell joins me today to talk about his new book, Mercy for Today, A Daily Prayer from Psalm 51. And would you believe we've got 8 copies to give away? It's a little hardcover book. It won't take you long to get through it, but it's a walk through Psalm 51, and he'll unpack that for us today. We'll get him on in just a moment, but I just want to say to you quickly that there are a lot of people who are doing the quarantine thing, a lot of people who are kind of shut in, who don't know Jesus. So I'm commissioning you, be a radio missionary. If you hear something on Faith Radio that ministers to your soul, that encourages your heart, surely there are other people who need to hear it too. So just, we make it very easy. Share a podcast with a friend and send a note along saying, I'm praying for you. You can really shake the heavens and the earth from right where you live if you remember who you are and whose you are. Well, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Jonathan Parnell is the lead pastor of Cities Church in Minneapolis, St. Paul, a church he and his team planted in 2015. He's in the Sent Network City Missionary. He is the Sent Network's City Missionary in the Twin Cities, where he serves as a church planning trainer. He and his wife, Melissa, live in the Twin Cities with their, count them, 8 children. And by the way, I want to say about these 8 books, if you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Okay, Pastor Jonathan, welcome to the show. So good to meet you.
Hey, Susie. Thanks for having me on the show.
We look forward to the conversation, and we love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm just wondering, is there a passage you've been hanging around these days you can share with us?
Yeah, actually, I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah for the last couple weeks, and as it turns out, I think it's providential in light of where we are with the whole coronavirus pandemic and just the response and all the changes that it means for everyone really in our country. You know, in the context, I should say this of Jeremiah, you know, judgment was brought on the people of Israel, on Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet is ministering in light of this. Really, I mean, it was a pandemic in one sense there in that day, because everyone was affected by famine and by drought. And in this time, in Jeremiah 17, I think we have a really clarifying word from Jeremiah. I won't read the whole chapter, even the whole passage here. The first part I'll mention is in verses 5 and 6 of Jeremiah 17, where Jeremiah basically talks about the futility of trusting in man. He says in verse 5, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." And he's saying basically, I think this is, we feel this temptation in times like this where there's so many different actions that we can do, so many different suggestions and guidelines that are given to us that we can actually participate in. We can confuse, if we're not careful, where our hope is. Mm-hmm. And we can think that, hey, this is up to us. Like, we have to figure this out ourselves and do this all on our own. And I think Jeremiah is saying here, hey, watch out, don't do that. And this is what he says in verses 7 and 8. So these are the two verses that I read this morning and praying for our church, and I just feel like are just so relevant for where we are right now. This is verse 7, Jeremiah 17, verse 7. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." And so in this time, you could call it, you know, season of drought, you know, this anxiety that we have across our country. We can be a fruit-bearing tree if our hope is in the Lord. And I think that's a word for my own soul this morning and hopefully for all our listeners.
Oh, this is why I asked that question, Jonathan. Thank you. That was a beautiful word. Well, I'd love for you to talk about Psalm 51. When did it first grab your heart? Because as you said in the book, this isn't just a guilty king's prayer. This is a prayer for all of us. But I'd love to know how and when it grabbed your heart.
Yeah, well, so growing up in the church, I was familiar with Psalm 51 and the backstory, which is just terrible. You know about David's sin, and you just think, I remember, you know, reading this psalm and thinking, and in the little superscript, you can see where it's coming from. This is when Nathan had confronted David about his sin, his adultery with Bathsheba, his murder of Uriah, and it's one of those psalms that you never want to need the way that David needed. And so growing up, I knew about it, but it was I kind of kept it at a distance and didn't really linger over it. I knew it was there in case, you know, I ever really needed it, but I didn't want to have to need it. And so for years I had this distance relationship with the psalm until really it's been now several years ago when I was reading this psalm in just daily devotionals. And came to a kind of abbreviated reading, and it had the verses organized a little bit differently, and prayed it as a prayer and found it really helpful. And so I prayed it again the next day, and then since then has just become a daily habit for me. And what it's taught me, and what I think that we all can take away from this psalm, is that the real theme of Psalm 51 is that the mercy of God is our only hope. And in that way, we really are very much like David, because we all need God's mercy no less than David needed God's mercy. And that's where, as much as we're not like David and we don't want to be like David, we are like David in that we're desperate. We're all desperate for the mercy of God.
We're more desperate than we possibly know. So what would an abbreviated Psalm 51 prayer sound like for you in your time with the Lord?
Yeah, so there are four petitions in the psalm that I kind of have pulled out, and I got this verse from the Book of Common Prayer, and it starts with verse 15 and then verses 10, 11, and 12. So the first verse, the first petition in the prayer is, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. And that's asking God, let me get in on your praise. More than anything else, as we enter this new day, I want to get in on the chorus of your adoration. I want to praise you. And then verse 10 is, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And that's just the prayer that God, change me from the inside out. Verse 11 is, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And that's the prayer of, God, don't leave me, please. Don't leave me. And then verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And that's the prayer for renewed joy, for restored joy, asking God, give me joy again today, the joy that I long for, the joy that I maybe once had but have lost, the joy that maybe I've aspired for but never really experienced. Give me that joy today. And so those are the four petitions, verse 15, 10, 11, and 12 of Psalm 51.
And we'll take those one by one on the other side of the break. We're going to pause here. Friends, we've got 8 copies of Mercy for Today, a daily prayer from Psalm 51, a little hardcover book. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions, comments, just need to send those in a separate text. Jonathan writes this, when you choose to follow Jesus, you are born again to follow him. And every day you continue down that path, that long obedience in the same direction, putting off and putting on, crucifying the old self and giving life to the new self, saying no in order to say yes, that life, an entire life of repentance, requires mercy. So as you walk this road, you're walking deeper into the mercies of God. We'll explore what the mercies of God actually are as well. As I said, 8 copies. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. More with pastor, author Jonathan Parnell in a moment. You're listening to an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. Lord, thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to author Pastor Jonathan Parnell. His book, Mercy for Today, a daily prayer from Psalm 51. It's a little hardcover book walking us through Psalm 51. We've got 8 copies. That's so fun for me that we have that many to give away. Thanks to Broadman and Holman. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Let's just talk a little bit more about the context if we can. So David had committed this sin with Bathsheba. Then to cover it up, he kills her husband. I mean, it's really his darkest, lowest hour. It is interesting. You know, he's a man of deep sensitivity. You can just tell by reading the Psalms. So you know he was bothered by his sin, but it took Nathan, it seemed, to bring him to a place of admission and repentance. So you even say Nathan was actually a gift to that story. I mean, for Nathan to pose this scenario, saying, what would you do, David, in this scenario? And he rages and said, I would deal with this. And he said, well, that man is you. Talk about how Nathan was a gift to that story, even a gift to David.
Yeah, I think he is in the narrative here. He is definitely a gift to David, which is actually the meaning of the name Nathan. I think there's perhaps a play on words there that Nathan, which means gift in Hebrew, he is the embodiment of a gift to David in that he confronts him on his sin, which is what brings David to this place of having to need the mercy of God. Like the realization that David has that his only hope is the mercy of God, which drives him to remember the truth about God, that God is indeed a God of steadfast love, abounding in mercy, which is the first thing David says in his prayer in Psalm 51, verse 1. And so I think Nathan, in his honesty and forthrightness with David, is a gift, like a gift that we all would need and want in our lives, people who can be honest with us about our sin and also about the mercy of God that is available to us.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Humble, God-fearing confrontations aren't the same as social media blasts. I'm just saying, right? Right, Pastor?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. We do need more God-fearing people, though, to step up. And that takes courage. Remember once hearing somebody, a pastor, say, how do you know if it's you? Well, if it's the last thing you want to do. If there's anything in you that's like, let me at him, I'm going to tell them what's wrong with them. You're not the person God would choose to bring to them. But if you're someone who sees something and it's like the last thing you want to do, but for love's sake, you have to, that's how you know you're the person. I'd love for you just to speak to that, because I don't see enough humble, God-fearing confrontations that bring correction and bear fruit? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the comparison between social media blast and humble, you know, face-to-face confrontation, which one is harder than the other, you know? And it's that latter. It's that looking someone in the face and bringing a loving word of rebuke. And I think there's been some good stuff written on this. I know at different places out there, desiringgod.org, I know have some great resources on this, just practical ways. And when we confront someone, you know, with a difficult word, making sure that our heart's in the right place, that we're coming at it with true humility, we're, you know, like you're saying, it's not something that we're kind of eager to do in kind of a sick way, but something that we do feel the gravity of, and we walk into it with sobriety and hope, knowing that we're not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit uses means, and that He might intend to use us as a means in that given situation.
Okay, so this is such an unlikely book to look at this psalm that David cried out once he realized the gravity of his sin. And you again said this isn't for a king, just for a king who messed up. It really is for us. So let's take it a little at a time here. The first part is, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. So start there. Unpack that if you would.
Yeah, I think the way that David starts his prayer is that he's praying according to knowledge. He has to know something about God before he can come to God the way that he does. And so this is why theology matters for prayer, for our relationship to God. We have to know who God is. Who is it that we're praying to? And in this case, David knows he's praying to a merciful God. He's praying to a God who is abounding in mercy, who is a God of steadfast love, which is how God declares himself to be. So that's the rock solid confidence that David has and that we can have. When we come to God, we know we are coming to a God who is not reluctant to show mercy. He's not stingy with his grace, but he is a God who is eager to show mercy and steadfast love. And that gives us the confidence to pray.
When you think about what Lamentation says, his compassions, they never fail. His mercies are new every morning. You know, his faithfulness is great. And it's a marvel. I think we need to pause and ponder some of those attributes of God, that he sends us new mercies every morning because we need them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You know, and I think praying this prayer for God's mercy as a way to start the day, which has been my practice, is exactly, I mean, on that point. Going back to Lamentations 3, it's knowing that his mercies are new every day. Okay, let's take God up on that. He says it. He says his mercies are new every day. Here's a new day. I need those new mercies. And to trust the Lord for that and to ask for that is what I'm trying to commend here in this little book.
So what does that mean on a practical level, Jonathan, as far as walking out his new mercies every day? What does that look like for you, and how has that changed your perspective?
Yeah, the first thing that I try to do in the prayer, which is in verse 15, is asking God to, you know, let me get in on your praise. Open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. And that's really setting the stage for everything else, because it acknowledges that, you know, no matter what else is going to happen today, all of which I'm uncertain about. I don't, you know, we don't know. None of us have certainty about what the rest of this day will hold, or tomorrow will hold, or the next day. And we especially feel that right now in light of this pandemic. But we've never had certainty. And so when we start each day to say, to acknowledge before the Lord, I don't know what today is going to hold, but I want to get in on your praise, because your praise is the one thing that makes most sense. You are worthy of praise. The heavens declare the glory of God. All of your creation exists to bring you praise, to magnify your glory. And I want to get in on that. Like, I want my voice, my lips, to participate in the ultimate reason why everything exists, and that is the praise and glory of God. And so it's kind of starting that day with, okay, God, let me get in on your praise. Let my voice participate in the chorus of your adoration, and asking that first. And I think that really sets the stage for everything else, for the mercy to walk in. Okay, if that's the case, now the second prayer moves to my heart. Okay, I want to be in on your praise, but my heart, change my heart, create in me a clean heart, a new heart. that can receive the grace you have for me, that can continually, not just now, but throughout the day, ask for that grace over and over again. And then that moves into the presence of God that we need. And then that moves into the joy that we long for.
I like this. You said we're invited. When you say get in on your praise, I love that phrasing, because you say we're invited to join the praise that's already in motion. We don't create the praise. The praise is already in motion. We want to get in on it. So say more, if you would, about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the realization that if we don't praise God today, God is still going to be praised. It's not up to us. He, you know, the rocks would cry out, right? Mm-hmm. If we weren't ourselves praising God. So it's one of those things where we have to realize God doesn't need us. He doesn't need our voice. He doesn't need our words. But what a gift that we have a voice and we have words to participate in his praise. So that's just clarifying the order of these things. God's praise exists apart from us, but what a joy that we get to be part of that. Our voice gets to be part of that praise. And then I think it really helps us know our smallness, though, to realize that whether I ask to be part of that, it's going to happen. I may not say a word today, but God's going to be praised. And the heavens right now, in this very moment, are declaring his praise. The birds right now are singing, they're declaring his praise. It's going to happen with or without me.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that he inhabits the praises of his people, he draws near and inhabits the praises of his people. To miss out on that is to miss out on so much. I mean, I just noticed in some of the worst battles, when I kind of take my eyes, not even kind of, when I take my eyes off of the battle and I put on some music and I magnify the Lord. And again, it's, we don't make the Lord bigger, but we put him bigger in our hearts and mind, and we make it,
all right.
You know, we rightfully place him above all of our trials. It is something happens, honestly, physiologically, spiritually, in every other way. I mean, the power of worship, I don't think we can even understand.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's praise and defiance. You know, it's stubborn mm-hmm. praise is the way we've talked about it in our church. It's that when the ground is shifting and things feel uncertain and crazy, the thing that we can do, that we know we can do, that is the reason why everything exists, is the praise of God. So join the praise, get in on the praise. Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that.
Wow. Get in on the praise. I want to read this excerpt. We're going to pause here for a break in just a moment. He said, there are particular things God wants us to ask in prayer, and it's in that asking, in the constant remembering that he works on us. So it isn't vain repetition to sincerely ask God for the same things every day. We'll talk about it on the other side, but two things I want to ask you, friend listening today. One is, how about you get in on the praise? Tell me, what are you thanking God for today? I would love to know. But also, how can we pray for you? I would love to know that as well. We'll pause right in the show and pray for you. If you've got a specific prayer request, please don't be shy. Text it in, and I'll leave your name anonymous if you say so. All right? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. One of the things I thank God for is our Faith Radio team and our Faith Radio listeners. We sure love you. It's just an honor to do this journey together. I appreciate that so much. Talking to author, Pastor Jonathan Parnell. His book, Mercy for Today, A Daily Prayer from Psalm 51. 8 copies to get into your hands. If you want in the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. This is an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. Well, I think your day's about to get better. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to author, Pastor Jonathan Parnell, about his book, Mercy for Today, A Daily Prayer from Psalm 51. It's such an unlikely prayer. It's the prayer that David cried out to God after his sin with Bathsheba and all the related sins that went along with it. But my guest today says this isn't just a prayer for a king who's messed up. It really is a prayer of intimacy as we draw near to God. And we've got 8 copies, so I'm excited to get that into your hands. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. So I'm asking for two things from you. One of the things Jonathan said before the break is getting in on the praise of God. I mean, if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out, and God inhabits the praises of his people. There's something powerful about let my lips sing your praises. So I'm asking you, what are you thankful to the Lord for? I would like you to get in on the praise. And also, how can we pray for you? So this dear listener said, I am so thankful to the Lord that the internet and Wi-Fi are up. I'm able to talk to family, and I got a precious phone call from my sister already today. Hallelujah. So grateful. See, it's so good to be thanking the Lord for these blessings, big and small. This dear one writes in and says, I need prayer because I have a great fear of death, because I have so much shame and no peace, and I have a chronic rare illness. Wow. Pastor, I wonder if you'd pray for Mary. She, again, says, need prayer because I have great fear of death. I have so much shame and no peace, and I have a chronic illness. Would you pray for that dear soul?
Yeah, let's pray for Mary. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for Jesus who came to defeat death ultimately in his death and resurrection, and that we know that although death does have a sting, ultimately its sting has been broken, and that we will be with you forever if we're united to Jesus by faith. And in this moment for Mary, for others listening, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, give faith, increase their trust and embrace of Jesus and his power. And I pray that you would give the peace that surpasses all understanding to know that Jesus, the resurrection and the life, is our hope and will bring us through these trying times. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, Mary. I'm going to remember you. You can text your prayer request or what you're praising God for. I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. So I want to read this quote again that I read before the break. You said, there are particular things God wants us to ask in prayer. And it's in that asking, in that constant remembering, that he works on us. So it isn't vain repetition to sincerely ask God for the same things every day. Say more about that and even give me some examples.
Yeah, I love to talk about this in terms of habit. You know, it is interesting when it comes to prayer, and you see this in the Gospel of Matthew. You know, Jesus teaches us and says that God knows what we need. The Father knows what we need before we even ask it. So it's like, okay, well, if he knows what we need, why do we pray? And also in the same teaching there in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, Jesus actually gives us instructions for how to pray. He says, pray then like this. And he gives us an outline. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And I think what we find in that is that prayer is not just about us actually coming to God and us asking God and giving God praise, but it's the way that we pray actually has a shaping effect on our souls. And God intends for the way that we pray to change us. And so praying with some repetition, following an outline, doesn't mean you say the same thing every time, but you have a basic structure, which I think is what Jesus gives us in the Lord's Prayer, or what we find so often in the Psalms. I think that type of repetition actually does shape and form our souls in a helpful, I think, Bible-shaped way, which is why the we can give a lot of attention to the pray part of Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer, but it is interesting. Jesus says, pray then like this. Okay, like this, and you read there and you see in verses 6 to 13 the kind of prayer he lays out, and what I think is an outline for any type of biblical prayer, which I think we also find in the Psalms, of coming first to God, acknowledging who he is, and then from there moving to think about our own hearts and how we might be a blessing to others. And so I think that would be the good shaping effect that I think praying the similar repeated prayers have on our own souls.
If you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to pray for another listener, Janet. Bless her heart. She says, I'm undergoing chemotherapy for multiple myeloma, which has implanted in my heart, causing heart failure. Doctors say no cure. I'm not believing that. Instead, asking for a miracle of God's power. She said, I want to be a light for his power and love. I'm sorry, Pastor, but well, I guess I'm not, because this is why we're here. Would you pray for dear Janet?
Yeah, let's pray for Janet. Father, you are the God of all mercy and comfort, and I pray that you would be a comfort to Janet at this time, that your presence, even in this moment, your Spirit would come and fill her and give her the hope to know that you are sovereign and in control, and that you are a miracle worker, and you are mighty to save. And so I pray in this moment, Father, that you would give that grace, that you would heal Janet, that you would give her the hope of your power to heal and your power to save from death ultimately, that you are her God and you will be with her through this valley of the shadow of death. You are with her and you are for her. We believe that. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor. Okay, here's another excerpt from your book. It said, it's fascinating and noteworthy that here in the West, among the greatest prosperity in the world, we're still more comfortable asking God to do something for us than we are recognizing what he's already done. I think that's really good. I mean, this is not a spinoff. We want to be praying for you, and we do ask God for, we do. We come to him with our needs. But there is something to be said here that if really it's more one-sided rather than establishing how faithful he's been, we are missing out on something in this relationship.
Yeah, I think it is easier for us. And at one level, like you're saying, this makes sense because we are a people of need. And when we ask God, when we petition God, we are honoring God as a good father who gives, as the one that we're desperate for. I think that's absolutely right. And so we should always bring petitions to God. And remember, he doesn't need our praise. So, I mean, just getting those things in order. But it is interesting that I find this in my own personal prayer life. You know, if you try to spend, my kids like to use the acronym ACTS. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, in prayer. And it is interesting that we tend to find the adoration part the shortest. We can enter into prayer and want to, you know, start with giving God praise, remembering who God is, and then we just get right through it. And we can't really linger over it the way that we can linger over petitions, because we're much more aware of our petitions, I think, than of the ways that we should adore God. So I think it's helpful to use the Bible in this way. The Psalms are so helpful. Use the words of the Psalms as giving voice to the ways that we can adore God. For several years ago, I wrote out a long prayer of adoration and thanksgiving, just a prayer that I repeat from time to time, just adoring God for who he is. And then I turn around on the flip side and I thank God for all his blessings in my life. And I think that's the sort of thing we need to grow in that. Mm-hmm. So I think if mm-hmm. you want to grow, you have to work on it. So you practice
Indeed.
It.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, the times again walking for me through some significant health battles, and in those places, letting my ears hear my mouth declare who God is.
Yes.
He's unshakable,
yeah.
unchangeable. It does something in your soul because you are connecting with the truth of who God is. And I love this. You said, over your sin, you can declare God's grace. So maybe you're the person who's full of shame. You know, Mary, I think it was, and I know others who listen who just live in shame. Over your sin, declare it. Declare God's grace. Over your weakness, declare God's strength. Over the craziness of your circumstances and the sorrow of your sufferings and the darkness of your doubts, your mouth can declare the truth of God. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm already getting holy goosebumps. There's something powerful about declaring that God is who he says he is. It isn't just, he's not a narcissist. He doesn't need us to tell him how great he is. We need it,
yes.
Don't we?
Yes, absolutely. And this is really wielding the power of the Word of God, is to mm-hmm. open the Bible and to believe this book is true. This is the Word of God. And I'm going to speak it. And even if our hearts are not where we want them to be or not where they're going to be, we can lead our hearts with our mouths. We can, you know, when it comes to shame, we can open up to Romans 8. We can remember there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we can read that, read it again, and read it again, and read it again, until we pray the Holy Spirit would catch our hearts up to our mouths. And that's the power. That's the power of the Word of God that we have, which is something I think in these days, you know, it is interesting where we are with everyone kind of quarantined, as it were. We have the Bible. We have copies of the Word of God, and we should really avail ourselves to that in this time especially.
I want brothers and sisters to remember, you can shake the kingdom right from where you live, the way that you pray,
yes.
you know, what you say, as you said, soaking in the Word. You know, I love Hallmark as much as the next gal, but it's like, I am not going to squander time of being quarantined. I'm just not. It's like, this is an opportunity when the world is in crisis. We are not putting our head in the sand. You can shake the heavens and the earth with your prayers. And Sue just said, I let go from a job a week ago, praising the Lord Jesus, that he will open a door for a job for me that no man can close. So she's already declaring God's goodness. And Lord, we just pray for Sue. We thank you that you are faithful. You saw this coming before she ever did. And all of her days are written in the book, Lord, before she lived even one. And we just thank you that you're faithful. And we agree that you're going to open a door that no man can close. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, Amen. Jonathan, you said that Amen. Since God is a God that we can't even imagine, He wants us to get out of our head and live in the truth of who he is. I got to say that again. Since God is a God that we can't imagine, we got to get out of our head and live in the truth of who he is. Say more about that.
I think this is really about humility. It's understanding that God is bigger than us, and He is outside of us. So He is not who we conceive Him to be. He's always going to defy our ability to embrace Him with our intellects. And so I think unless we get that right, then we're going to come to moments when we can't wrap our heads around who God is, and that could lead us to doubt, or worse, as I talk about in the book, it could lead us to walk away from our faith. Which I think is a huge mistake, because I mentioned, and I've seen this as a pastor, that people who tend to walk away from the Lord, they're actually not walking away from the Lord. They're walking away from their misconception of who He is. Mm-hmm. And that's a sad thing to see, because he actually is not the God you think He is. But you're walking away from this, this distorted version of Him that you've conceived and you've put together in your own mind. So I think consistently coming to the Bible and taking the Bible at its word, what does the Bible say about who God is, and believing that, even if we can't fit it all into our minds.
Love that. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to take a look at this part of the Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. We'll take a deeper look at that. This dear Michelle says, I hope this is the right number. I have so much to praise God for. In the fall, my 6-year-old grandson accepted Jesus in his heart. His name's John. I was not sure, but I have a brother living in a nursing home very sick with cancer who's passing, and I shared I would miss him, but I know he's going to heaven to be with God. John was quiet and said, oh, Mimi, there are lots of rooms there, and God's going to make everyone better. Well, little John, you are absolutely right. Jesus has gone away to prepare a place. One day, friends, no more tears, no more suffering, no more viruses, no more anxiety. But so we live, we fix our eyes on what we cannot see. Talking to Jonathan Parnell today, his book, Mercy for Today, A Daily Prayer from Psalm 51. We are in this together. Aren't you grateful the radio works, the internet works? We can encourage each other and be a light in this dark world. So I would love a text, how we can pray for you or what you're praising God for. I just think it's good to do that. And we've got 8 copies. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book. It's a separate text, though. Same number, just has to be a separate text. 877-933-2484, and we will be back in a minute. You're listening to an encore presentation of Middays with Susie Larson. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to author Pastor Jonathan Parnell about his book, Mercy for Today, A Daily Prayer from Psalm 51, taking a deeper look at King David's prayer after he royally messed up. And as my guest today said, this prayer is not just for a king who messed up. It's for us every single day. We're walking through it step by step. You know, there's mercy because of Jesus every single day, new mercy sent to our door. And there's nothing like walking intimately with God. So we were asking, because one of the things Jonathan said is, you know what, when we praise God, it's not originating from us. We're not creating praise. If we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. There's praise already in motion. So we're getting in on the praise. We're going to worship Him when it's easy and when it's not, when the sun is shining and when the storms are raging. So one of the texts I wanted from you is, what are you thanking God for? And then, two, how can we pray for you? We know these are turbulent times. This dear listener said, I put coffee on, went out on my deck, and praised God for the sun coming up this morning. Seriously, this is what we need to do in these times. Also, we've got 8 copies to get into your hands. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Mary says, I am praising God for every breath I take. I love that, Mary. Okay, back to the psalm. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Talk a bit about that portion of the psalm.
Yeah, you know, the second petition in the daily prayer is, I think, really taking stock of our own condition. It's after we have kind of set the stage, okay, I want to get in on your praise, God. We look inward and we realize that our hearts need to be changed. We wake up every day with broken hearts that need to be set right, you know, crooked hearts that need to be set straight. And it's asking God, I need a new heart. I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and do a new work in me today. I can't go today on yesterday's mercy. I need today's mercy for a clean heart, a new heart in this moment and today. And that's just recognizing just our own need, our own weakness, and asking for God to give us the strength And you know, when I say in there, kind of the short form way that I prayed is God changed me from the inside out. And that's knowing that in every situation I walk into, every tough situation I walk into, when it's so easy, I tell you, I mean, like, we are so good at blaming others. It's not new to the human condition. We've been doing it since Genesis 3. It's always somebody else's fault. But to be in a situation, and before we point the finger, to first look into our own heart and hearts and say, okay, change me first. What in me needs to change? And I think in every predicament, that's the fundamental thing that I think God wants us to pray is, it's not change my circumstances, it's first change me. And just kind of reckoning with that at the very start of the day, I think it's important.
I love this. You said typically when things don't go our way, we rarely ask God to change our hearts. We keep asking him to change our circumstances. And I started to think about that, Jonathan, that something miraculous happens within us when we're more concerned with who we're becoming than we are with getting our way. And I just want us to stop here, because we can really, if we look at the storms, none of this came by surprise to God. What if we all just paused here and just said, Lord, yeah, I'm going to pray that you put a stop to this virus. I'm praying for the vulnerable. Absolutely. But what in me you want to get at? I mean, what could possibly change? I'm telling you, for me, I realize I waste things that I didn't realize I wasted, like toilet paper. I hate to say it, but it's like, it is amazing to me when you're put in a position to all of a sudden have to ration, like those who went through the Great Depression. That is not a bad thing. So I'm just saying, what, Lord, what in me do you want to temper or change or strengthen? Speak to that, because this could be a miraculous turning point in somebody's faith walk if they could look
absolutely
at this differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where, I mean, again, the spirit of humility to know in these situations when we can, there are a lot of things to bemoan and complain about when it comes to what's going on, and to be frustrated and grumble about. But to first say, okay, God, what are you doing in me? What do you want to do in my own heart throughout this whole thing? And I think even just acknowledging that and coming to that place of humility is a gateway to, I think, real transformation and real change, where we're going to think, if we ask the question, God will give us clarity and God will show us some things that we can change in our lives for the better, for the good.
Yeah.
So I think just acknowledging that is the first thing, really coming to that place where we can honestly say, what I need mainly, and this is, I should say, we're talking here a little bit out of our shoes, because this is hard to do. This is not easy to do in moments when we get frustrated and you know, in the moment when there's so many things to be anxious about, it's hard to stop in that moment and to say, you know, oh, okay, well, what in me needs to just to change, because it's so much the things on the outside that are causing the pressure and the stress. But to pray for the Spirit to give us the presence of mind to where when we find ourselves in those hard situations, to stop and say, okay, what is my heart saying here? What can I learn about what's going on inside? What needs to change on the inside in me, not just on the outside, but in me? And I think that's really a gateway petition to real transformation.
And what if we looked ahead 6 to 8 months? Let's just say, Lord willing, this thing has fizzled in 6 months or whatever. Let's just say. But I want you to picture yourself on the other side of this crisis. You don't want this thing wasted on you. I mean, what do you want to be said about you, that you've come through with a firmer grasp on his promises, on more confidence in his character? Or we can, again, stick our head in the sand and entertain ourselves to death, bide our time. I don't know. I don't mean to be condemning or judgmental at all, because, you know, there's nothing like a good, you know, string of movies once in a great while. But I do feel like there is something to be said about stewarding this crisis and saying, change me, Lord. I want to come through this having known you in a deeper way. And I just think this part of that prayer is powerful. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Okay, this part of the prayer, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Jonathan, I will tell you, I've heard plenty of people say this is not a New Testament concept, because we can't be separated from his love, and he's not going to leave us if we are in the fellowship of believers. So what do you say about that?
Yeah, that's right. I think in the context of Psalm 51, this is David's most earnest prayer. I think he is at this point, if we could, you know, hear him, his inflection, as it were, as you're praying, I think this is the part where he would be be most emphatic, praying, God, don't leave me. Please don't leave me. There's a desperation for that. And what we have in the New Testament with the New Covenant is we have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our guaranteed of the hope that we have in our future with Jesus. And so there's a sense we can't, if we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we're united to Jesus by faith, we don't lose the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us. But what we can pray after David is a recognition of his presence. We can go through times. I quote John Owen in the book, there are times in the Christian walk where we can go through seasons where we feel there's a distance maybe with the Lord. There's some space there that we wish wasn't there. And what we're praying after David when we pray this prayer is we're asking for the recognition, for the experience of the nearness of God by Spirit. It's not that the Spirit's going to leave us. The Spirit's not going to leave us. We're not going to be snatched from God's hand. He's going to keep us. But it's praying in this moment, I want the experience. I want the fullness of your Spirit, which is what Paul says to pray in Ephesians 3. I want the fullness of your Spirit, the fullness of the power of God. And I think that's what we can pray after David, is that I don't want just to check the boxes on, yes, I know the Holy Spirit indwells me, but I want to live like the Holy Spirit is inside of me.
Come on, somebody. I think I need an amen, friends. I need an amen for that one. Text me 877-933-2484. So, Jonathan, we have this thing. When one of my guests says something that'll preach, I ask for an amen. And then it's like a little ticker tape parade. We get a bunch of amens in. I wish you could see it. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. So we're going to move to this last. I love it. But I got to read this. She said, Jesus is God with us, who walked among us and lived life in our shoes and dwelled in our details. Jesus was God's presence realized, and he looked people like us in the face. People touched him and talked to him and heard from him. His presence is our good. His nearness is our good. And I just think, man, you draw near to him. Scripture says he draws near to you. Okay, this last portion of Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Speak to that.
I think as Christians, we should live a life of joy. And I realize that's hard for some people who are in the midst of suffering and struggling with depression, and I understand that. So to ask for the experience of joy is not in any way to short circuit the real sufferings that we have, because we have those. We have hard times. But I think when we look at what God has done for us in Jesus, and the reality of who we are, how we are seated now with Jesus in the heavenly places, even in the midst of the most intense suffering, we can still have an unshaken, rock-solid joy that is in God, not in circumstances, not in how things may be going in that particular moment, but a joy that gets beneath that. A joy that rests in who God is and in what he has done. That's the kind of joy that I think David is asking for, joy in God's salvation. And that's the kind of joy that I think should characterize the Christian life, no matter what the circumstances are. And this is where, in a time like what we're in right now, Christians can be the leaders in our society when it comes to joy. We sing. Christians sing. What did Paul and Silas do in the jail? They sung. You know, it's even in the midst of the worst times, I believe we are called to have joy, and that is joy that we have to ask God for, restore it, because we don't always feel it. We have to admit, we don't always have that joy. So we ask God for it. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. I think that is an important petition for the Christian life.
Amen, friends. Amen. You said, honestly, if we could only grasp God's love, if we could only understand its depths, that would be all we would need to experience joy. And I'm just going to commission you, friends. Most of you are on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, something. Become a writer. You know, start sharing the joy of your salvation. Start sharing devotional thoughts. Start bringing perspective to this storm. And I would do that after you've spent some good time with God and get your marching orders. Get a fresh word from him. Mark Batterson always says, you want a word from God, you got to get in the word of God. Spend some time with the Lord and then start to speak out what you've learned, because you are an influencer. And Jonathan, I want to thank you for just doing such due diligence on Psalm 51 and really causing us to see it in a fresh new way. I do pray God's blessings on you as you lead this church and your giant family. Thanks for joining us today.
Susie, thank you so much.
8 kids is just a lot. I'm just saying. I think it's awesome. That's Jonathan Parnell. It is. It is. My hat is off to you. I love it. 8 evangelists being raised up right now. Jonathan Parnell's my guest in his book, Mercy for Today, A Daily Prayer from Psalm 51. We'll leave the drawing open for about 15 minutes or so. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We sure appreciate you. We love you. And we'll meet you back here next time.
Connecting faith to life every day. This is the Faith Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And never miss a show.